I have a very short reading before the sermon from the book Who Are We? By Jean Elstein, a professor of ethics and political policy at the University of Chicago. She asks, what does it mean to live in hope? Reaching a new millennium or a crossroad in our life concentrates the mind wonderfully. We take stock. We look back in order to peer ahead. We ask ourselves, do we dare to hope? Having looked back, having surveyed the shipwreck that is so much of the past, taking stock honestly and forthrightly, refusing to avert our eyes, it is clear that optimum isn't warranted. But then optimism never is. Hope, however, is something else. Well, optimism proffers guarantees that everything will turn out all right and that all problems are solvable. Hope, that great theological virtue, urges us to a different stance, one aware of human shortcoming, but aware also of our capabilities, our capacities for stewardship and decency, and our openness to grace. Imagine this scene. I'm at a meeting in a Toronto hotel. I'm the new addition to this negotiation between the Canadian Unitarian Council and the Unitarian Universalist Association. The task is to find a new way to pay for the services provided to congregations. The financial agreement that had been in place for a number of years no longer worked. That is, the UUA thought Canada cost them too much. Up until this time, services provided to Canadian congregations had come from various sources. Each Canadian congregation was a member of the Unitarian Universalist Association, as well as a UUA district. Here in BC, congregations were part of the Pacific Northwest District, a healthy and very functional organization that did a good job of those things. Most other congregations were in similar cross-border districts, but not all were as well served. Personally, I was minister to a brand new fellowship in St. John's, Newfoundland, part of an almost equally far-flung Northeast district. Only the congregations in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Thunder Bay were in a solely Canadian district. Social justice issues were nationally supported here in Canada. Most other congregational services, like consultation and workshops on how to do church, ministerial transitions, and religious education programs, were all provided by the UUA out of Boston or through the district. The CUC had its own newsletter. By 2001, however, the UUA finally understood that it was really not possible to be both the national organization for the Unitarian Universalists in the United States and a continental organization that really and truly included Canadians. They realized that they didn't do a very good job of including Canadians in all kinds of ways and places. I personally experienced many, many times at the UUA's General Assembly, that's their annual conference, where they said national when continental was the word that was most appropriate. They just did not get that international border and all the difference in the world it made. Now they finally began to understand this lack. But the status quo was only shaken when it came to money. The accord was way past due for renegotiation. How could this work? My appointment had happened only a month earlier, when someone had resigned from the UUA Board of Trustees, the representative from Canada. In an interesting twist, although I was a member of the UUA board, I was on the Canadian side of the negotiations. So I was as surprised as everyone else when the UUA side offered the CUC a cash settlement of $1 million US from their endowment fund so we could go in on our own. Just leave us alone then. So the Canadian Unitarian Council could become the truly national denomination that we had so long yearned for. Some of you probably attended the big CUC meetings in Montreal in 2001, where this whole notion was voted on, and then in Kelowna in 2002, when the plan for its implementation was approved. Philip Hewitt tells the whole complicated tale of the emergence of an independent association of Unitarian congregations in Canada in more detail than I wanted to even read about. But it began with a note from Scotland in 1828, hoping that a Canadian Unitarian Association would be established soon. It's taken a while. Suffice it to state that in fits and starts at various times over the years, an association of Canadian Unitarian congregations did try to start. It came to fruition in that most Canadian of ways by evolution, not revolution. That incident I spoke of was merely one more step in that evolution of being in charge of our own denominational life. What we are celebrating this year is the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the Canadian Unitarian Council in 1961. Finally, there were enough churches and a sufficient number of ministers, professional leadership, to make such an organization work. Finally, there was the will to make it happen. And of course, then there was the money piece, which came from the UUA, and our dues. Charles Eddis, the minister of the Montreal Church, reported of the first CUC meeting in November 1961. For the first time in the 130-year history of Unitarianism in Canada, Unitarians from coast to coast met at a representative meeting on Canadian soil to discuss the state of liberal religion in Canada and to lay plans for the development of a national organization to relate Unitarianism more effectively to the particular country in which they met. Feeling a bit humorously like the fathers and mothers of Confederation, of some latter-day Confederation. Charles added that bit about meeting in Canada because Canadians had much more commonly met at the AUA meetings, always in the U.S., but they were all together there for the annual May meetings of the American Unitarian Association. But this was 1961, and the AUA was itself in the throes of constitutional change. The AUA was meeting to decide whether to merge with the Universalist Church of America. And of course, they were meeting too. And yes, it all happened in various adjacent hotels. You hear all kinds of stories about it. It was 1961. The times, indeed, they were a-changing. Our story for all ages tells of Franklin's search for the best part of his neighborhood. His project was to draw that best part. In the end, he didn't draw a building like many of the others did, not the school or his church or the library. Instead, he drew his neighbors, as many as he could fit on the page. You probably couldn't see that, but he had a great big page, and it was just full of people. And they weren't standing all on the ground. They were just dotted all over the place. He had connections to, he had relationships with all of these people. He recognized at some level that the people in his life are what gave it meaning. Congregational polity, as it was first conceived in the Cambridge Platform written by the Puritans of Massachusetts, aims for this, good relationships. It has a lot to say about how to maintain those good relationships. Autonomous churches, they are, but they look out for each other, and they check in on each other. The leadership of the Canadian Unitarian Council has changed over the years, its board being elected much like ours is. Our own Ralph Greer has been on the board, and so has John Slattery. Others you may know include Brian Kiley and myself. I wouldn't be surprised if there's been other Beaconites involved, too. Who have I missed? Anyone else? Other Beaconites. Well, we have been involved. If you move around in the Unitarian world even a bit, you get to know a lot of people. You can get to know people well if you spend long hours over long weekends working together. Again, those relationships matter. At first, the CUC did its business out of the recording secretary's spare bedroom in Toronto. There wasn't any paid staff. It didn't hire an executive director until 1984. Finally, there were hands full-time to make more of the routine matters happen. The CUC was becoming more effective. Other executive directors, including Mary Bennett, who was our director of religious education for a time, have taken us further. Today, the CUC has staff in the various regions, and that first plan to implement our service delivery continues to change with changing needs, changing resources. As we were embarking on the new way of doing things in 2002, Charles Eddis enthused. Now, you need to know Charles Eddis. He's the most low-key kind of guy you can imagine. He doesn't enthuse easily. But what he said was, what the CUC board lacks in immediate cash, they will more than make up for with enthusiasm, ingenuity, dedication, and sheer determination. There is the will. They will find the way to make it work. It was true then, and it still is. Enthusiasm, ingenuity, dedication, and determination will find a way for the future. This is true for the CUC, but it is equally true for you here at Beacon. What you determine to make happen will happen. Robert Fulghum says, I believe that imagination is stronger than knowledge, that myth is more potent than history. I believe that dreams are more powerful than facts, that hope always triumphs over experience, that laughter is the only cure for grief, and I believe that love is stronger than death. I have hopes and dreams for Canadian Unitarians. Tom Harper, well-known religious writer of books like The Pagan Christ, featured Unitarians in a Toronto Star article in 2005 when our annual conference and meeting was held in Hamilton. Harper said that Unitarians face a unique opportunity to fill the growing spiritual vacuum. He went on to say that there are hundreds of thousands of Canadians currently looking for a spiritual home. They want, in the midst of the other good things that you have to offer, a truly living experience of God. They want meaning now and a future hope. I believe that we can help to fill that spiritual vacuum and become home to some of those hundreds of thousands of Canadians who are searching. How do we do this? By not being shy, by telling others about this good thing we have called Unitarianism, called Beacon, by leading by example in our communities, like at the food bank depot that we help organize, thanks to Sandy and Kathy Burby, by performing random acts of kindness, by dropping the word Unitarian into conversation every chance we get, by talking with each other, by sharing our passions, by doing the things we do best, by building relationships and encouraging the best from each other. You may know that the CUC's annual meeting and conference is coming up in May. I find it very hopeful that there is now a delegate subsidy fund to enable many new leaders to attend their first CUC conference. This is a big change. It will make it one step easier, perhaps possible, for new leaders to attend the conference. Back in the day, not so very long ago, not many people went to the CUC conference. It was mostly the same old folks who were all getting older. There have been deliberate strategies implemented to broaden its appeal, like having a children's program and a youth program. And here is one more. The results have been impressive already, and this conference in Toronto is likely to be the largest in CUC history. The CUC, like many other volunteer-based organizations, including Beacon, is having trouble finding folks to stand on their boards and to do the nitty-gritty stuff, too. It's a matter of demographics. The keynote speaker, economist David Foote, may well address this issue. He is the co-author of two books entitled Boom, Bust, and Echo about the current demographic shift. I don't imagine he will wave a magic wand to make more volunteers appear out of the woodwork, but his ideas will hopefully be interesting. What I do want from him is hope. Hope that we can do enough together to keep us going, to keep us thriving. Now that I say I want him to give us hope, I realize that we really need to remember is that we make our own hope. We have to know inside us just who we are and what we can do. So we can't confuse hope with optimism, what my colleague Mark Bellatini describes as magical thinking, a form of denial, or let's pretend. Hope, Jean Elshane says, urges us to a different stance, one aware of human shortcomings, but aware also of our capacities for stewardship and decency and our openness to grace. The aims that the CUC first articulated back in 1961 are still core to what the CUC is all about: to build connections between Canadian congregations, to produce publications with Canadian content, and to promote a Canadian Unitarian identity. As Wayne Arneson says, together we weave the threads of our lives into the whole cloth of religious community. Amen.